There's got to be an explanation to all these UFO sightings, right? Hey, it's Stephen Diener, host of the Unidentified Alien Podcast. And whether you're new to the conversation or have been looking into it for years, you need to check out the fastest growing alien show out there, the Unidentified Alien Podcast, or UAP for short. There's a crazy amount of alien encounter stories out there from all over the world. And the beauty of it is that I bring them all to you and let you decide what you believe. Download and subscribe to UAP on any of the major podcasting platforms. And you can also find it on UAPpodcast.com.
The Joyce Kaufman Podcast is being brought to you by Code Red Roofers, South Florida's leading residential and commercial roof experts. Code Red Roofers, roofers that respond. Call 844-4-CODE-RED or visit CodeRedRoofers.com.
In South Florida, only the sun is hotter than Joyce Kaufman. It's the Joyce Kaufman Show on News Talk 850 WFTL. Come on, if you make sure you're connected. But if your mind's neglected, stumble, you might fall.
Don't you find it a little bit odd that every time there's a whistleblower that comes forward about Boeing, they suddenly die? They make a claim that they've tried to get Boeing to pay attention to some of the flaws that they've seen that they thought would compromise safety. And the next thing you know, they're gone. Now we have Joshua Dean, a former Spirit AeroSystems quality auditor, claimed he was fired for flagging concerns about lax standards at the company's manufacturing plant in Wichita, Kansas. His sudden death at the age of 45 on Tuesday came after suffering from a fast-spreading infection, according to his family and lawyer. Okay. Al Jazeera wrote an article saying he possessed tremendous courage to stand up for what he felt was true and right and raised quality and safety issues. Aviation companies should encourage and incentivize those that do raise these concerns. Now, we've gotten to the point where we can't trust anybody. We can't trust the government for sure. We can't trust private corporations, and we definitely cannot trust the media that's supposed to be reporting on these things and giving us the information we need to at least understand what's going on. 2,000 arrested at universities across the country. Columbia is all remote now. There'll be no classes. If you look at the videotapes that are coming out about UCLA, my friend Pat sent me a videotape. I think it was on Cat Turd or one of the Twitter sites that we frequent. It looked like a war zone, the campus of UCLA. And the president, Joe Biden, is like, hey, we just need to calm down. No, we need more than just to tell them to calm down. This is going to be a very large issue in the coming election. And he's being covered by the whole press. I mean, there's an article in The Hill today, which is really despicable because sometimes The Hill tells the whole story and sometimes it just conveniently forgets a lot of the story. And today, you know, today they painted it this way. President Biden was sharply critical Thursday of aspects of protests that have swept across college campuses nationwide in response to the war in Gaza, condemning vandalism and trespassing, even as he defended the right to peacefully demonstrate. But there is no peace in these demonstrations. I don't understand why they keep saying that. Then he goes on, in moments like this, there are always those who rush in to score political points, but this isn't a moment for politics. It's a moment for clarity. What are you talking about? No, this is a moment for politics. If you plan on being president for another 4 years, you need to be firm in your resolve to put an end to violent protests, because that's what these are. This is not peaceful. I didn't see any scenes of peaceful protest at Columbia. Zero. No peaceful. UCLA, no peaceful. These are getting a lot of attention, and that bothers him, and it seems to bother the media too. Oh, you know, the media should stop covering this because it's getting too much attention and it's just escalating the tensions. So what should the media do? Ignore it? Destroying property is not a peaceful protest. Vandalism, trespassing, breaking windows, shutting down campuses, forcing the cancellation of classes, forcing the cancellation of graduation. That's not a peaceful protest. That's intimidating everyone. That's threatening people. And I love when Joe Biden or anybody else in a position of power stands up and says, well, you know, dissent is essential to democracy. These are the same guys who shut down dissent. Oh, we have to have a council of misinformation, and we can't have Fox, and we can't have OAN. No. That's all disinformation. Wait, I just thought you just said dissent is essential to democracy. And here, dissent is leading to disorder. And he's not considering sending in the National Guard. And he said the protests on college campuses have not caused him to rethink his policy in the Middle East. I'm just curious. Does anybody believe these young kids are going to vote for Joe Biden? I mean, I don't think they're going to vote. Because I don't think they're going to all line up and say, well, let's vote for Donald Trump. They're too brainwashed for that. But these so-called pro-Palestinian protesters, which are really pro-terrorists, that's all they are, the ones that seized control of Hamilton Hall on Columbia's campus on Monday, you know, they're not voting for Joe Biden. They are angry. They don't even know what they're angry about. How about that? The school requested the police came in, and when they came in with riot shields and zip ties and arrested a whole bunch of protesters, then all of a sudden it was like, whoa, what happened? Why did they do that? What do you mean, why did they do it? Because those demonstrators had completely stopped campus life and scared the bejesus out of a lot of Jewish students. And that same thing was happening on the campus of UCLA, where they were shouting some pretty horrible things. I can't even imagine a comparable verbal assault against, you know, LGBT community, against African Americans, against Latinos. It wouldn't last but 5 minutes. And then the entire country, and in particular this administration, would be up in arms and say, absolutely not. You have a right to free speech, but you don't have a right to yell, you know, back in the ovens to an entire group of people just because of their religion or because of their ethnicity. You may have a right to free speech, and you may have a right to peacefully assemble to make your voice heard, but we have a rule of law in this country, and we have to have both in operation. You know, I love when Joe Biden says, well, we don't quash dissent. Well, we don't quash dissent if we agree with it. You see, deep down inside, Joe Biden and all of the Democrats right now are okay with this. They really are. They see this as a prelude to unrest if Donald Trump should win an election. Just crank it up again. You know. It's just so out of control, and to listen to people in the media discuss it as though they were, you know, champions of free speech. How about being a champion for a civil society where order prevails? Anti-Semitism is rearing a very ugly head right now, and it's been bubbling for a long time, but now it's right out there. We live in a country today where you can threaten violence against Jewish students and be immediately excused for it. You can't make that kind of hate speech towards any other group. Imagine for one moment if there was discrimination at college campuses towards Arab Americans. You know, because they had on a headscarf or something. These poor kids are wearing a Star of David. Half of them are not really all that Jewish. They just are, you know, ethnically Jewish. This has got to stop. And all the destruction, all the violence, all the hate, it's not going to help Joe Biden or any Democrats in upcoming races. Now, the presumptive Republican nominee is, of course, Donald Trump, who has been absolutely out in front calling this a disgrace, saying that the president of the United States needs to make public comments on these scenes, needs to go there, and he's nowhere to be found. When you have a problem like this, you're supposed to go out and talk about it and talk to the people. Big problem right now. And the president, you know, is claiming that if he were to talk, it'd be political. Well, I got this to say. If you don't talk, it's political. And you've got to be out front condemning the rhetoric that you've been hearing. Things like Zionists don't deserve to live. Taking over buildings at Columbia. This is not how we do things. And in the past, when we did things, we at least understood what it was that we were championing or fighting for. If you went and talked to protesters in the late 60s about the war in Vietnam, they knew a lot about what was going on. They had a personal relationship. It was they and their friends who were getting drafted. They weren't volunteering. They were getting drafted and sent over to the jungles of Vietnam with no clearly defined reason. You know, some sort of vague, we're fighting communism. Okay, what exactly is fighting communism have to do with the United States of America's national security, which is what our military is all about? And there were lots of debates that took place. But you couldn't do an interview on Columbia this week where the person being interviewed, first of all, they didn't want to answer any questions because they were told, you guys are so stupid and you don't know what you're talking about. So if a news person comes up to you and wants to ask you a question, you have to say no interview because you're too stupid to actually answer questions. That wasn't what it was like in the 60s. People knew what they were protesting about. But people knew way more than the politicians thought they should know. So, you know, this is an unmitigated disaster. And, you know, the only thing that I can say positive about it is if this continues much longer, then they're really going to be in a tough position to try and get Joe Biden elected. I know. I've seen all the prognosticators who say, oh, it'd take a major, event for him not to get reelected. I think this is a major event, and I think there'll be more major events between now and November. And I don't think he can handle any more. And in the meantime, the country is watching this. The same country who didn't want to condemn Bill Clinton for having affairs is now the same country who's looking at them trying to prosecute Donald Trump for supposedly having an affair and then, you know, supposedly paying to have that affair not publicized. It was okay for Bill Clinton, but it's not okay for Donald Trump. The country's too smart to do that. You can't keep changing the outcome and not expect us to say, well, then this is political and this is not fair. And no, you know, we're not paying attention to it anymore. Nobody's even going to the court anymore. Nobody. Except the crazy hungry media who wants to go, oh, he fell asleep. Oh, please. You know, I don't even check in to see what happened in the court until the end of the day. Not interested. You know, I don't care about Stormy Daniels. I don't care about Michael Cohen. I don't care about Pecker. I just want that to be over, and I want Donald Trump to get back on the campaign trail because there's a lot to talk about, and he's the man who's got a message. So don't forget to download the app, the 850 WFTL app. can do it on your cell phone, you can do it on your laptop or your desktop, and that way you have access to all the news, you have access to all the podcasts, you have access to our contest. It's a good thing to have, and don't be frightened, but if you are, if you're one of these people who don't want to add any more apps, then just visit our website on a daily basis. It's 850WFTL.com. Let me take a quick break. I will be right back.
Hi, everybody. This is Adriana Trigiani. I'm the host of You Are What You Read. I have the privilege of interviewing luminaries of our times about the books that shaped them from childhood until now. We get everybody from Sarah Jessica Parker to Kristen Hanna, Mitch Albom, Susie Essman, Craig Ferguson, Rainn Wilson, Amor Towles, you name it, they come, they share. New episodes of You Are What You Read drop every Tuesday on Apple, Spotify, or any major streaming platform wherever you listen to your podcasts.
Right back. All right, I apologize. We'll straighten out what just happened with that spot that was just suddenly cut off in the middle. We'll get that straightened out in the next break. But, you know, I'm looking at the scene at the UCLA campus. It's in shambles. The police came in and cleared out these protesters who had this encampment and didn't want to leave, right? So they arrested them, about 130 people. And then they tore into the tents and the plywood and all these other materials that were used to build up the encampment. They apparently thought they were going to stay a while because they literally had put in a lot of supplies. But here's the point. These are the leftists who want to tell me about how they are for the environment and they are in solidarity with Palestine in this war against Israel. Really, it's Hamas that's fighting a war against Israel. The Palestinian citizens are not fighting a war. I think they're okay with it, but they're not the ones. Hamas is fighting a war, right? But if you look at the photos of the trash and the tents and the food and all this other stuff that these so-called fraud environmentalists left there, you have to ask yourself this question. I cannot use a plastic straw or get a plastic shopping bag when I visit my kids in Los Angeles or in San Francisco, right? But if you take a look at what this looks like, this college campus looks like, there's crap everywhere. It's going to cost them a fortune to clean up Royce Hall, which is one of the buildings. They did all this graffiti on these prestigious college buildings. That all has to be cleaned up. They broke windows. They did a tremendous amount of damage. But these are the environmentalists that left all the garbage and all the graffiti tags there. Some poor guy who works in the lawn and grounds department at UCLA, he's going to have to clean up this mess that was left by these snotty rich kids, these far left agitators. It's such a clear example of the hypocrisies, right? What exactly do they mean when they call themselves environmentalists? We can't have a straw. We have to save the planet. And then they leave their so-called liberated zone like a ecological disaster. They're not going to clean up the mess. The people who claim to care about the earth, they're not the ones who are going to clean up the mess. They're the ones who trash it. It's the California taxpayers who are going to be forced to pick up the tab to clean up all the destruction that was left behind by these pro-Hamas insane people. First order of business, sentence them all to 10 hours of community service. Make them pick up all the garbage that they left. Start there by making everyone who arrested it clean that garbage up. Who thinks that should be part of the punishment? Come on, guys. You know it's a great idea. Put them all in orange suits, give them a trash bag, and send them in there. You know, with their green hair and all the rest of it. Tell them it's time to help the environment. I'm so tired of all the hypocrisy and all the fake outrage. That's what kills me. Oh, you guys don't respect our environment. You don't like the science, so you don't know anything. They really don't know anything. And now we're watching as people start to get found out, right? You can't really hide behind lies much anymore because it's just too easy to catch you. So take, for instance, Kristen Clark, the Department of Justice official, right? She was called to, you know, a confirmation hearing in the Senate when she was nominated as the head of the Civil Rights Division. She got nominated by President Biden. She had been confirmed as the Assistant Attorney General in charge of the Justice Department Civil Rights Division by all 50 Democrats and one Republican, Susan Collins, as usual. This is a woman who published an op-ed with the title Defund the Police. You can't make this stuff up. She was asked by Tom Cotton in the confirmation hearing, since becoming a legal adult, have you ever been arrested for or accused of committing a violent crime against any person? Now, obviously, if Tom Cotton asked that question, it's because he knew the answer. She said no. And, you know, then the Daily Signal got a bunch of records that were authenticated that said that she was a little less than forthcoming with this statement. Yeah, a lot less than forthcoming. She had actually been involved in a violent domestic dispute with her ex-husband that ended in her arrest. In fact, she was arrested on July 4th, 2006, after she allegedly attacked her ex-husband, Reginald Avery, and sliced his finger to the bone with a knife. So then she told CNN that for years I was a victim of domestic abuse. Okay, you still had to report the arrest in front of the congressional committee. She said, nearly two decades ago, I was subjected to years-long abuse and domestic violence at the hands of my ex-husband. This was a terrorizing and traumatizing period that I've sought to put behind me to promote my personal health and healing and well-being. The physical and emotional scars, the emotional abuse and exploitation, and the lying are things that no woman or mother should ever have to endure. So when given the option to speak about such traumatic incidents in my life, I have chosen not to. I didn't believe during my confirmation process, and I don't believe now, that I was obligated to share a fully expunged matter from my past. What? What? She is going to be in charge of enforcing civil rights laws? This is a woman who enforces those laws aggressively, mind you, against anybody who even sneezes or prays near an abortion clinic. And not at all against people who vandalize churches. She lied under oath during her confirmation proceedings. She should resign. She lied under oath to mask her arrest for committing a violent crime. Yet, she zealously prosecutes peaceful pro-life protesters. Of course, she denies that. And of course, her ex-husband denies that she was brutalized. I was just cheating on her. He said, I think it's a sad and pathetic effort to make herself a victim and is revealing of her character. I was seeing another woman. That's what happened. She was angry. She attacked me with a knife. I instinctively grabbed it. I'm not blameless, he said. Okay. But she's a liar. And she lied in a confirmation hearing. Can you imagine if a Republican lied in a confirmation hearing and it was found out? Do you think that they would be tolerant of that? Oh, well, we don't want her to have to walk down the trauma memory lane. Lord have mercy. It's just so unfair, the double standard. And it's just so obvious these days. You see it on the front page, and they're not even embarrassed by it. Yeah, I lied. So what? That's basically what she said. All right, let me take a break. Stay right where you are. You are listening to The Joyce Kaufman Show, and I will be right back. So a apparently there was one of these sycophant panels on MSLSD yesterday, and they were really worried. They said that, you know, these anti-Israel protests on these college campuses, they could hurt President Joe Biden's reelection chances. That's right. Because as these protests have spread to Columbia and UCLA and all of these, and many of them include some violence, Al Sharpton suggested that the protests will have national political impacts on the presidential election as well as hurt Democrat mayors of major American cities. And then, of course, Mika Brzezinski said, oh, my God, Donald Trump could get reelected. Yeah. Yeah. The politics of what's going on the campus is very different than people anticipated. If there are problems in Chicago for the Democratic convention, and there will be, the mayor of Chicago, this is Al Sharpton speaking, not me. He said the mayor of Chicago is a black man named Brandon Johnson. And guess who the mayor of LA is? Karen Bass. And guess who the mayor of San Francisco is? London Breed. And guess who the mayor, and the list goes on and on and on and on. So these are very relevant factors that have to be measured. The other point that Al Sharpton made, said, what bothers me is Donald Trump went and did two rallies in two different states yesterday. I didn't see any pro-Palestinian marches there. And he's more anti-Palestinian state than anybody in this race. But Trump keeps getting a pass. Well, that's not exactly how I would describe it. Donald Trump doesn't tolerate this bad behavior. He didn't when he was in the White House, and he does it now. It's kind of laughable. I don't know how many of you watched him at these rallies, because they keep having these stupid people that think they're going to get away with heckling him, right? It doesn't work. The crowd that comes out to see Donald Trump at these rallies will not tolerate the hecklers. They don't need Secret Service. They have plenty, but they don't need police. The crowd itself shuts down the hecklers. And they don't do it with violence. But if you're a pro-Palestinian, a pro-Hamas individual, the last place you want to find yourself is at a Trump rally. I'm just saying. You're not going to have, there's no welcoming committee for you at a Trump rally. If you're anti-Israel, forget about it. Trump's the man who moved the embassy to Jerusalem. Trump's the man who stands by Bibi Netanyahu. Never heard Trump say the things that Chuck Schumer and Joe Biden have said about Israel and about Bibi Netanyahu. Never. So you really want to show up in front of thousands of his supporters with some sign that says, you know, I support Hamas? They're stupid, but they're not suicidal. There was a Time magazine article that was published, I think it was the day before yesterday. It was an interview with Donald Trump, and it was interesting because he actually found a way to sort of get in everybody's good graces, because what he said was Bibi Netanyahu should have done more during the October 7th attack, and that he now knows and hopes Bibi understands that a two-state solution is not possible, and that the criticism that was directed at him may be justified. But he will support him, and he will help him, and he will stand by Israel, which I think is the winning line. And Joe Biden cannot find the way to navigate that anymore. It's too late. He can't save himself. But, you know, Democrats, by and large, they don't understand, because they've been covered for by the media for so long. that now the public has like alternative media, right? We don't have to listen to MSNBC and we don't have to listen to the New York Times anymore. We have all kinds of alternatives to get news. So when they start, you know, crying victim, we just laugh at them now. In the old days, it was like, oh, I'll give you a perfect example. Remember the DA in Baltimore? What was her name? Marilyn Mosby, right? She's about to get sentenced. Yeah, you know, another stellar Democrat. And she literally wants a pardon from Joe Biden before she gets sentenced. Because she gets sentenced, I think, on May 23rd. I saw it somewhere. So she was on Joy Reid's psychotic program with the psychotic Joy Reid. And she said, I've done absolutely nothing wrong, nothing illegal, nothing criminal. Pardoning me would be the right thing for the president to do. I think it's appropriate. I don't want to be separated from my children for 40 years because I withdrew $90,000 of my own money. It makes no sense. You know, meanwhile, Donald Trump can't respond to claims being made on that very network, MSNBC, or on CNN or anywhere else by Michael Cohen, the liar. He can't respond, but Marilyn Mosby wants to be treated right. I mean, really. And then you got that DOJ official lying under oath during a Senate confirmation hearing. But she doesn't think that should be important. It's like they have these rules for themselves that don't line up with the rules for all the rest of us. And the rules for Donald Trump, if you think the rules for the rest of us are bad, the rules for Donald Trump are worse. Like, they will bend over backwards to create a crime. You know, they're not looking for who committed the crime. They pick a crime and then they try to fit him into the crime. No matter what it takes, let's take this outdated misdemeanor and turn it into multiple felonies. Yeah, that's the ticket. And then Mosby has the nerve to say, they targeted me. This is a 4-year-long investigation. They combed every aspect of my life, unannounced, going into people's homes, knocking on my neighbor's doors, intimidating folks, issuing subpoenas. Really? Demonizing me, vilifying me. Trying to break me psychologically and professionally and break me spiritually and break me financially. Really? Isn't that what you and your ilk are doing every single day to Donald Trump? Every single day. But we have to be sympathetic to this piece of garbage. That's right. She was convicted on 2 counts of perjury relating to the withdrawal of funds from the City of Baltimore's deferred compensation plan, claiming that she suffered adverse financial consequences during the COVID-19 pandemic when she was Baltimore City State's attorney. Mm-hmm. She submitted distribution requests, withdrawals for $40,000 and $50,000 that she was not entitled to. She might have met one of the qualifications for distribution, but nobody else was going to get it with just one. It's not a PPP loan. It was COVID relief. It's not COVID relief. She made all this stuff up. This is the money I was putting away every 2 weeks in a retirement savings account. Uh-huh. Yeah. Wow. She hasn't actually submitted an application to the Office of the Pardon Attorney, by the way. You don't need to do that to get a pardon, but we'll see. Trump would grant clemency to individuals that he learned about through the media or even word of mouth. You know, if Kim Kardashian brought it up, he'd give him a pardon. But that's not what's been like under the Biden administration. He largely uses his pardons for people who are convicted of drug crimes. He's received 1,000 pardon petitions during his term and has granted only 24. I love how the left talks the talk but can't walk the walk. It's a vanishingly small number of pardon petitions that are granted. It's a long shot for any criminal defendant. But that hasn't stopped Mosby from going so far. She launched an online petition. Yeah. Signed the petition. Being punished for her relentless commitment to pursuing and upholding justice. You can't make this stuff up. You really can't. Who's her attorney? I'm sure it's somebody whose name will be very familiar to. Yeah. Anyway, let me remind you, coming up after me is Eric Erickson, followed by Joe Pags, and then Lars Larson, the Overnight Guys, and Jen and Bill will be back. Well, at least Jen will. I didn't hear Bill this morning. We'll be back at 6 a.m., followed by Brian Kilmeade at 9 a.m., and then followed by Dan Bongino at noon. And then, of course, I return at 3 o'clock tomorrow. But I still have a segment left today. Please stay right where you are. I'll be right back. Sometimes you sit here and you read it. I don't even understand. I'm trying to look at some of the transcript from the testimony that was elicited today from a lawyer who was involved in the negotiations for agreements between President Trump and the McDougal and Stormy Daniels, right? And the lawyer for the women said it wasn't a payout and it wasn't hush money. It was consideration in a civil settlement. Would you use the phrase, he was asked, would you use the phrase hush money to describe the money that was paid to your client by Donald Trump? I would never use that word, he said. Yeah, I just don't get it. I don't understand why this is being tolerated as well as it is. It's not being tolerated by us, but certainly there are a lot of people whose credibility is just shot. First, they did the whole Russian collusion thing, and that really put them on shaky ground. And now it's this. And all the other inane commentary that you hear. The record keeping at the Trump Organization. Like, really? That's what we've come down to? What about the record keeping at the numerous shell companies that the Biden family has? Is anybody concerned about that? No. Nobody except Peter Schweitzer and, decent Americans. How long will they get away with this? Anyway, too long. Still going on. I did want to mention, today is the National Day of Prayer. Today's a day when Americans are supposed to actually send up some prayers for our country. And I have to tell you, I believe that prayer is very important. We've had many presidents who felt prayer was important. That's why we have a National Day of Prayer. And I think it's a great idea for people who are prayer warriors, and I know there are plenty of you out there, to send up a prayer, send up some timber. Because this country is in terrible condition right now. And we sure could use a miracle. And I only know one entity that is still in the miracle business. So it's probably a good idea for you to take this opportunity, this National Day of Prayer, and send up a prayer. I'll share with you the prayer that I sent up. I said, Father, we come to you as a nation asking for your mercy. As Proverbs 28 and 13 explains, whoever conceals their sins does not prosper, but the one who confesses and renounces them finds mercy. Help us, O Lord, as a country, to humble ourselves before you, as James 4 and 10 instructs us to do. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up. With repentant hearts, we come before you for forgiveness. Examine our ways, Father, and help us to return to you, as Lamentations 3 and 40 urges. Let us examine our ways and test them, and let us return to the Lord. Strengthen our leaders to resist and reject the temptation of corruption. Give them new hearts, like Ezekiel 36 and 26 describes. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And then, of course, as I always like to pray, 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and will heal their land. In the name of my Savior, I pray. In the name of Jesus, I pray. And I hope everybody sends up a prayer. We need it. This country needs your prayers right now. These kids who are protesting, they don't even know what they're doing. They need your prayers. The country needs your prayers. So I thank you for your time this time. Until next time, my plan is to be back here tomorrow at 3 o'clock, if it be his will and he delays his coming. Remember, what lies behind us and what lies ahead of us are tiny matters compared to what lies within us. So wherever you are, just be yourself. Everybody else is taken. And then, as always, may God bless you, may God bless Israel, and may God bless the United States of America. See you all tomorrow. Stay safe.
The Joyce Kaufman Podcast has been brought to you by Code Red Roofers, South Florida's leading residential and commercial roof experts. Code Red Roofers, roofers that respond. Call 844-4-CODE-RED or visit CodeRedRoofers.com.